So dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to the final day of the Gift of Tongues webinar. And I'm sure you are excited to come to this final day where the Lord is going to bless every one of us with a priceless gift of the Holy Spirit. Today is your day. It's your day. Because God is going to give you, the Holy Spirit is going to give you one of the most powerful gifts that has been neglected for a very, very, very long time. And so, dear brothers and sisters, what we are going to do today is, on the last day, I want to give you a teaching on the different types of tongues, so that you will have greater intimacy of God with God, and you will understand which tongue needs interpretation. So what I'm going to do in this session is, first, we'll give a summary. I want to give just a very quick summary of the last 2 days so that, you know, everything fits into the session today. And then I want to explain 1 Corinthians 14. So please keep your Bible with you. There are some very key verses in 1 Corinthians 14 about tongues, which tongue needs interpretation, etc. Yeah, because these are the questions people will ask you when you start praying, so that even your own doubt and your own confusion will go. So 1 Corinthians 14 is the key chapter when it comes to the gift of tongues. So I'm going to explain that, and we're going to run through that also, because there's a lot of verses, but we're going to explain that. It's very important. And then we're going to pray finally for the impartation, praying for the release of the gift of tongues that is already within you, because the Holy Spirit is within you. Okay, so as I wrote to you in the note, we will take 10 minutes more. That means we will close today at 8:10. Okay, 8:10. So please kindly be patient, and thank you. So let's move into the teaching. You see, the gift of tongues is a much neglected gift today, right? Why? As I said, because there is lack of knowledge and people, the lack of understanding, lack of knowledge, so many questions, so many people are questioning this gift. Is it from God? Some people even question and say, is it from God? Is it from a devil, from the devil? And if you have the gift of tongues, then they also say, no, the gift of tongues ceased. The gift of tongues ceased after Pentecost. That's not true. We can see after Pentecost, all the disciples used the gift of tongues. There are 7 instances in the Bible where the gift of tongues, you can see clearly written, where the early disciples used it. So gift of tongues did not cease after Pentecost. Some people say that because they, their opinion, but what opinion counts most is what is written in the Word of God. And some people also, you know, say if you pray in tongues, you need interpretation. And that's the reason why we are giving you this teaching, so that you will understand, you know, well the teaching. Because if you understand the teaching well, it clears your doubt, then what will happen is you'll flow into the gift. Let me put it that way. You'll flow into the gift and you'll pray beautifully, because you will not flow into the gift if you have a doubt, confusion, things are not clear. That's why the webinar is 3 full days. That's why we are giving you chance to even ask a question. We want to clear the doubt. But in case there is more clarity required, please read 1 Corinthians 14, or you can go back to our videos. That's why the YouTube channel we started, so that it is recorded. The YouTube channel, the teachings are always there. Go back to it, listen to it, you know, so that you understand it, and then you release it. Then you'll only experience the power and the benefit of this gift. So I'm going to the summary now. The first part is the summary of the last 2 days. The first day, remember, Priya spoke to us on the power of praying in tongues, right? The power of praying in tongues. And she said, what is the gift of tongues? The gift of tongues is, it is a gift given by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we cannot give you the gift. That's why it's called impartation. Impartation is where God is going to use us as an instrument. That's all. We are a vehicle. That's all. But the gift is coming from the Holy Spirit. He is the source of all the gifts. He is the source of all the charisms. You see, the Holy Spirit. So it's the gift. So what does it mean? If you ask the Holy Spirit for the gift, He will give you. That's why Jesus said, ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. If you ask the Holy Spirit, He will give it to you. He is longing. Amen. He is longing to give the gift to you. It is a prayer language. A beautiful language of prayer. And Priya explained it. Now we are all, we both, and so many others now are praying so beautifully in the gift of tongues for long hours. Just the other day, a lady called me, a sister, beautiful sister called me from Bilaspur. See, from where all people are coming for this webinar, Bilaspur. And she told me, brother, now it is 1 year that I have gone through the webinar. I pray every single day, every day, 4 hours in tongues. Amen. And she has a job. And then she's telling me the experience that has happened in her life. She said, because I'm praying like this now, brother, more power is coming into my life. Amen. More power. When I pray for people on the phone, she says, they get healed. Amen. You see that amazing power? She didn't have it before. How the power came, how the gift of healing is coming, because she is now connecting to the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in her life. The other day she wrote to me and said, there was a call, I couldn't take the call for prayer. So she wrote a prayer on WhatsApp. She said, I sent this WhatsApp prayer to her. I wrote a prayer in the WhatsApp. I sent it to them. They read the WhatsApp prayer and they got healed. This is the power that you will get. Every one of you will get. It's not reserved for one and two people here. No. Every single brother and sister on this webinar, when you connect to the power of the Holy Spirit will use you. Language of prayer, for private prayer, just use it and keep on praying in tongues. Keep on praying in tongues. That's why the teaching is, we are doing this detailed teaching. You won't get detailed teaching. Some people receive the gift of tongues at their first retreat, at the retreat center. No knowledge, you see. No one told them the use and the benefits of tongues. No one told them, hey, you must pray more in tongues or pray for long hours in tongues. They received in the retreat center and then they went home and didn't use it. What they do, many people receive the gift of tongues and put it in a freezer. They put it in the freezer, never used it. What a tragedy that is, mistake that is. One lady wrote from Melbourne, Australia, and she said, what a tragedy. We had this gift all along with us through the retreat and never used it. What a tragedy. You see, that's why all the charisms are to be used. It builds you up and builds the church. It's meant for the building of the church. It's a language of prayer. Use it more. And then also, the third point is, the gift is under your control. How beautiful. It's under your control. What does it mean? You can start when you want, stop when you want. You can pray softly when you want. You can pray loudly when you want. Why? The gift is under your control. The gift is subject to the prophet. You see, every gift is subject to the prophet. That means what? You can start it. You can stop it. That's why you must make sure that you control your emotions. When you're praying in tongues, some people will find, right? Their hands are moving like this, like a branch. Or sometimes their head is all going like that, their body is shaking. And when in a physical meeting, when I'm there, I correct it. Because you cannot pray like that for long hours. Can you pray like this for long hours? Impossible. Your hand may come off. If you pray like that for 4 or 5 hours. And also, people, if they watch you, they will get scandalized. They're saying, what is this? The gift of tongues is not like that. You see, St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, 33, our God is a God of order, not confusion. Order. That's how the Holy Spirit works. He brings order. He brings self-discipline. Self-discipline. So control your emotions. Please become aware where you are praying. Become aware of it. It's very important. Walking on a street, You can pray, but don't get into, you know, any emotional things. Then you become a scandal. So make sure the gift is under your control. Priya in her first teaching also said, there are 9 charisms of the Holy Spirit, and the verse that was quoted, was 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. What does it say? 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10 says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between the spirits, it's called the discernment of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to still to another the interpretation of tongues. Now, brothers and sisters, by this, you see, we should understand one thing when you're reading the New Testament. You see, the New Testament was written in Greek. So, when they translated the New Testament into various languages, now we're talking about English, when they translated the New Testament from Greek to English, there was a loss for translation. There is always, when you translate, there is something called a loss. Because why? The exact thing is not translated sometimes. You won't get certain words. And that is what happens when they're translated into English, there is a loss. For example, look at this. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another knowledge, to another faith. So by looking at it to another, what do you think? You think the Holy Spirit gives a charism, different charisms to different people. That's what we'll think, right? To another. But at the same time, he's also saying here, you know, by means of the same Spirit. Look at that. Paul is saying, same Holy Spirit, but the way it is written, it looks like to each one is distributed to the 9 gifts. 9 people, 9 gifts. So that means what? I can get 3 gifts, but I may not get the other 6 gifts. That is not what St. Paul is saying. That is the problem with English. English. What is Paul really saying is that the Holy Spirit, that is the same Holy Spirit, all the charisms are from the one same Holy Spirit. He dwells within you and me. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the tabernacle of God. God dwells within us. Holy Spirit is in you through baptism. See that? Beautiful. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit is within you. What does that mean now? Because the presence of the Holy Spirit that is within you, all the charisms, 9 charisms that are listed here are also within you. So what does it mean? I can choose which gift to operate. You see, everything is there. So today you will choose to operate the gift of tongues. It's a choice. Till now you didn't do it. Why? You didn't choose. Nobody told you. It is already within you. You don't have to search for it. It is within you. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. So tomorrow, as you're praying in tongues, I remember we said yesterday, it's a gateway. The gift of tongues is a gateway to all the other charisms of the Holy Spirit. So when you start praying more in tongues, the word of knowledge will come. Look at that now. Prophecy may come, interpretation of tongues may come, all the others, charisms are beginning to surface in your life. You may get the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, surely the gift of healing. Then suddenly you realize, how? All these gifts are already within you. Very important, okay? Second thing, I want to draw your distinction to this. Okay, so here there is 9. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Please look what Paul is saying. The first thing I want to say is, Paul is saying there are 9 gifts, right? 9 charisms. 9. Some people say, why I'm stressing this is, because some people say, When you pray in tongues, you need interpretation of tongues. Not true. Not true. If that was true, interpretation of tongues is another charism. Otherwise, you would have stopped at it. Different kinds of tongues and interpretation, it was said. No, he doesn't say that. He says different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. That means there are two separate gifts or charisms. But one. Second thing is, look at point number eight, charism number eight. Different kinds of tongues. Ah, that is very important. Some translation says various kinds of tongues. So that means in the tongue itself, the gift of tongue itself, there are different types of tongues. And that is what I want to explain to you, because when you understand the different types of tongues, you will be able to discern and know which tongue needs interpretation, which tongue does not need interpretation. Amen. That is my goal for today. We will come to that. Then on the second day, yesterday, we heard a teaching on the use and the benefits of the gift of tongues, right? The use and the benefit of the gift of tongues. We said we can use the gift of tongues to praise God, to worship God, to exalt God. We can use the gift of tongues in private prayer. Private prayer. You see, when you use it for private prayer, it needs no interpretation. Private prayer, God understands you. Then we said the gift of tongues brings personal sanctification. You are built up, you are strengthened in your faith. Then you can use it for deep intercession. It will sanctify your speech. You'll get divine revelations. Get insights, mysteries will unfold to you. You will get amazing breakthrough in your health, in your marriage, in your finances, in your business, in your spiritual walk with God, because now you can hear the voice of God so beautifully. You can resist the enemy. You can counter the devil. You don't have to fall a prey to his strategy anymore. No. Personal holiness, sanctification will start taking place. Why? Because now you're praying more in tongues, and the Holy Spirit is making you more and more like Jesus. That means what? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is getting worked out in your life. If you were an angry person, the Holy Spirit will work out patience in your life. You see that? Patience. How beautiful. If you were not a very generous person, the Holy Spirit will work out generosity in your life. If you're a person who you didn't have really self-control, Holy Spirit will work out self-control in your life. How? Pray in tongues. That is the power of praying in tongues. So, today, in this session, we want to take a quick look at 1 Corinthians 14. I request you to kindly open your Bibles. If you have a pen, keep it there. And whichever scripture you feel you need to underline, please underline. Because this chapter is the key. And I want to tell you, very, very few people will explain this chapter to you. Very, very few people. Yeah, keep it with you. It's very, very important teaching. Understanding the gift of tongues through the eyes of St. Paul. Yesterday we said St. Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. 3/4 of the New Testament. So important. Yeah. So look, let's see what he wrote. We're going to go. Okay. Before that, before going to 1 Corinthians 14. The types of tongues. As I said, the Bible writes there in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, various kinds of tongues. So in 1 Corinthians 14, in the Bible, St. Paul is listing out three important types of tongues, three varieties of tongues, three different types of tongues. What are they? Okay, let's look at it. Number one. There is something called a tongue for private use. Private use. The tongue that we are talking about in this webinar is this tongue. The tongue for private use between you and God. It's not between you and man. It is between you and God. That kind of a tongue, a prayer language, we know the tongue is a prayer language, needs no interpretation. Is it here? No. Okay. Needs no interpretation. Amen. Because you're communicating to God. And this private prayer tongue brings personal edification. You see, personal edification, it builds you up, it strengthens your faith. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 and 4, we will come to that when we go through the entire chapter. Yeah. But the different types of tongue, one tongue is for private use. The second kind of tongue is called a tongue for public use. which is meant for an assembly, where you go to an assembly and speak in tongues. Yeah, it is meant for a public use, assembly, at a prayer meeting, at a congregation. And Paul says, when you use it that way, you need interpretation. Look at that, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26 and 27. And he says, this tongue is all the charisms are meant for the building of the body of Christ, building of the church. Yeah, okay. The third tongue is the tongue for unbelievers. People hear in their own language. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, 1 to 11. When they spoke in tongues, people who were there heard them all speak in their own languages. This is a tongue for unbelievers. Look at that. A person, God may use you to speak in a language. You may not know it, but the person who's listening to you knows it. He understands. God is speaking to him. Amazing. So these three types of tongues, Paul lists in 1 Corinthians 14. So pay careful attention to what I'm saying. A tongue for private use needs no interpretation. Tongue for public use needs interpretation, and a tongue for unbelievers. So during the talk, I'm going to pause. I'm going to pause to make you reflect. Yes, you cannot answer me, but you can reflect. I'm going to ask you, what type of tongue is this? Is it a tongue for private use? Is it a tongue for public use? Is it a tongue for unbelievers? And try to see if you can grasp it. Because if you grasp it, you got it. Nobody can. Then you understood the teaching, okay? So, one more rule I want to give you, and it's a very nice rule. When the gift of tongues is directed to God, it needs no interpretation. Right? Please understand. Vertical dimension. Vertical. When the gift of tongues is directed to God. For example, I pray in tongues every morning. In my personal devotion, in my personal prayer, in my private prayer, I'm praying in tongues. Needs no interpretation. Why? Vertical. I'm addressing my tongue to God. The second rule. When the gift of tongues is directed to people, horizontal, it needs interpretation. Did you get it? Very important rule. When it is directed to God, vertical needs no interpretation. When it is directed to people, that is, when you are in a group of people, you are in an assembly, you are in a prayer meeting, it's directed to people in the form of a prophecy. Yeah, in the form of a prophecy, it needs interpretation because nobody can understand it. Yeah, let's look at it. Don't worry. The gift of tongues, you see, I put a note here. The gift of tongues, private, can also be used at a prayer meeting and intercession. It needs no interpretation. For example, when the praise and worship is going on, we can all start suddenly praying in tongues. The whole people will start praying. What are we actually doing? We are not praying in tongues as a prophecy. We are exalting God. Vertical dimension, here it is. Vertical dimension. Does it need interpretation? No. Intercessions. Yeah, we raise a petition. Let us pray for India. And everybody prays in tongues. Vertical dimension. Does it need interpretation? No. That's what we do every evening, 9:30 to 10 in our intercession. We state the petition. We pray for, say, the church. And the animator says, let's pray in tongues. And we all pray in tongues. Why? Address to God. So become clear of that too. When tongues is given in the form of a prophecy, it needs interpretation. And we are going to bring this distinction during this talk. Okay. A quick look at 1 Corinthians 14. Now, brothers and sisters, 1 Corinthians 14 is a long chapter. Now, if you went through the chapter this morning when I gave you the preparation notes, it has got 39 verses. 39 verses will take you 1.5 hours to 2 hours to explain. At the same time, we don't need to look at all the verses. I have taken the verses that are pertaining to this teaching. There are some verses I omit. I omit because it it's not in line with this teaching. You can read 1 Corinthians 14 a little later. Yeah. But we are taking only those verses that are talking about various kinds of tongues. Various kinds of tongues. Three types of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. Earnestly pursue love. Desire and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Excuse me. What is St. Paul saying? St. Paul is telling everybody in the Corinthian church, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Of course, pursue love, he says, because he says, without love, no use having spiritual gifts, right? 1 Corinthians 13. We come to 1 Corinthians 13, here's the chapter on love. That's why it is sandwiched. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13 is love, and then the gifts. So two chapters on the charisms, he sandwiches with love and saying, when you operate the charisms, it must be, there must be love. Love must be the basis. Love must motivate us. That's important. So honestly, pursue love. And eagerly desire spiritual gifts. You know, brothers and sisters, another translation says, covet spiritual gifts. Covet. Now, covet is not a very good word. We know that. Thou shalt not covet. Have you heard of it? Right? We know that. So covet is not a good word. But Paul is telling here, you covet it. You want it. Don't be without it. Eagerly desire, eagerly covet spiritual gifts, the charisms, especially the gift of prophecy. Now, from this verse, it looks like St. Paul is saying, among all the nine charisms, you only desire prophecy, especially the gift of prophecy. That's not true, because again, that's an English problem, translation problem. Why do I say it's not true? Because Paul himself says in verse 18, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 18, I thank God, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So Paul himself prayed in tongues a lot. So Paul is not saying this gift or this charism is better than that charism. No, all the charisms have the same source, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, understand that. Verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Let's take the first line. Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Clear. Get this clear. When you pray in tongues, you are not talking to people, you are talking to God. Amen. You're communicating. Your spirit within you is communicating to the Spirit of God. Amen. So beautiful. So don't get worried. You're praying to God. Some people say, oh, when you pray in tongues, you're praying to a demon. How sad. How sad. They've never studied 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Please show those people this verse. When you pray in tongues, you don't pray to people, you pray to God. To God, not to a demon. To God. And that's the reason why when you're praying to God, your life will get transformed. And that's why we're getting so many testimonies. That's why we're getting so much of great response. This is the 20th Gift of Tongues webinar. And look at the response. Why? Because their people are praying in tongues, power is coming into their life, prayer is becoming a joy, intimacy with God is coming, prayer is no more a burden in their life. You're praying to God. So don't get perturbed, don't get worried when people tell you, hey, it's wrong, this is not Catholic. Excuse me, what's not Catholic? Is the Bible not Catholic? Bible is Catholic. And it is written in the Bible. How can it not be Catholic? Don't get fooled, please. The trick of the enemy. It's a trick of the enemy to make sure you don't pray in tongues. Because the enemy knows when you start praying in tongues, the power of God will come into your life. The life of God will come into you. He knows it. He knows it. Remember what Jesus said? I come to give you life in its abundance. That abundant life you will start experiencing. And the enemy does not want. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He does not want it. That's why he brought a lot of controversy only with gift of tongues. Have you noticed it? Only the gift of tongues has controversy. No other charisms has controversy. Because it's the gateway gift. It is the entry gift. And so what is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to suppress the entry gift. And if he closes the entry gift and suppress the entry gift, he knows the other gifts will not surface. Don't fall a prey to the enemy. Be careful. That's why, look at it again. Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Now let's go to the next one. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Look at that. No one understands them. Can you underline that? No one understands them. Now pause. I want to ask you, reflect. What type of tongue is St. Paul talking here? Tongue for private use, tongue for public use, tongue for unbelievers. No one understands them. What does it mean? A tongue for private use. No one understands them. Needs no interpretation. You see, when you're praying to God, you don't need interpretation. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So don't worry when people come and tell you, oh, you must understand what you're saying. When in the Acts of the Apostles, when they prayed, all they understood. Yes, there are different kinds of tongues that they don't know. And that's why they're so confused. They themselves are confused and they confuse you also. Don't fall into the confusion after attending a webinar, please. Don't fall into the confusion. Doesn't matter what reaction people give when you talk about tongues. Some people look at you and discuss, oh, you believe that? Or some even the people say, oh my. Don't worry. They don't know. They don't know the power and the pricelessness and the value of this gift. You don't fall a prey to what people say. Go by what the word of God says, please. They utter mysteries. Once a person, I was preaching in Sri Lanka, and once a person came to me and he said, you know, when I was talking about the gift of tongues, he said, you know, no one, it's a mystery. He told me this, you know, it's a mystery. No one understands them. It's a mystery. If it's a mystery, why should I pray? I asked him, excuse me, do you know that the Trinity is also a mystery? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, is a mystery. No one can understand it. I asked him, do you believe that? Yes, he said. I said, how come you believe that? It's a mystery. Bias. Or you just don't want to get into this. If you don't want, that's perfectly okay. That's okay. But don't go and tell, hey, there is no such thing as gift. That's wrong. You're going against the word of God. But I believe because you're at the webinar, you want it. And I'm telling you, it's the secret to your Christian life. It is the secret to your Christian life. And if you do what we're telling you to do, pray and use the gift for long hours, I am telling you, you will soar like an eagle. You will soar like an eagle. Your spiritual growth will go 30, 40, 50 times more. I challenge you. The God will give you the gift of faith when everybody has shallow faith and lukewarm faith and despair and panic and fear and anxiety. You will stand strong because faith has been built into your life. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4. We already explained it yesterday. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, builds himself. You see how important it is. Build your faith. Use it. Build your faith. When do you know you have faith, sisters and brothers? When do you know you have faith? Your faith is strong when you face a crisis, right? And see the crisis that is going on and see the confusion, the fear, the anxiety, the stress that is going on. You know why? But the people who have built up their faith, strengthen their faith, are the strong ones. They don't panic. There's no fear. There's no stress. Because faith is that. What is faith otherwise? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So pray in tongue. He who speaks in tongue edifies himself. You see, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies who? Himself. Not others. Himself. So what type of gift is he talking here? Private, public, or for unbelievers? Private. Pray more in tongues for hours. Nothing can. You know, it's, I don't know, you must do it, you know. You must experience it. And when your faith is strong, I'll tell you one thing, you know, when your faith is strong and you get all kinds of opinions and different theologies coming across your path, you know, you will be, God will give you that ability again through the Holy Spirit to, you know, which is not in line with the word of God, to discard it. Doesn't matter who says what. Don't get worried about who says what. This person said, that person said, he's a man of God. Doesn't matter. Is it in line with the word of God? All the Catholic teachings are in line with the word of God. Correct? Yes. Every Catholic teaching is in line with the word of God. So don't get swayed when people tell you whoever it is, however brilliant a mind he may be, doesn't matter. What matters most is what the word of God says. You know, sisters and brothers, you must know a little more about Saint Paul. Somehow we don't talk about him too much. I mean, we have two feasts, 2 days reserved in the church for him. Feast of Saint Paul. Yeah. But we don't talk much about him. Please remember, however, we talk about some brilliant minds in the church. They are brilliant. There is no doubt. And so is Saint Paul, brilliant mind, but touched by the Holy Spirit. His words, his saying, constitutes the New Testament. Amen. However brilliant somebody may be, however brilliant mind they may have, they might have said great things. Yes, we agree, but it is not part of the Word of God. So what I'm saying, everybody has an opinion. We respect it, whatever opinion it is. You have an opinion, I have an opinion, but at the end of the day, our opinion must be in agreement with the word of God. It must be aligned to the word of God. Otherwise, you have to discard it. It's not correct. My opinion, I just can't have my opinion, say everybody, this is my opinion. But is it in line with God's word? You must test every spirit. Not don't believe every spirit, you must test every spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 5 says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Let's split it. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Did you see that statement? Paul is telling the Corinthian church, I want every one of you to speak in tongue. Everyone. He didn't say it's optional. No, he didn't say that. He said, I want every one of you to speak in tongues. That is the message he's telling them. God desires every one of you to pray in tongues. Everyone in the church. And I know now the Holy Spirit is moving so powerfully in our church. The religious are praying in tongues. Bishops are praying in tongues. You see how amazing the Holy Spirit is moving. Yeah. So don't just listen to one side of the story and don't, you know, and think that's how it is, the mind of the church. No. There are many people in the church who pray in tongues. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. Now look at this problem of English translation. I want you all to pray in tongues. It looks like contradiction, right? One side is saying, I want all of you to pray in tongues. Other side is saying, but it may be better for you to prophesy. You see, it looks like St. Paul is contradicting himself. We know one thing. The word of God does not contradict itself. It is the translation issue and the way they have put it, it looks like it's contradiction. The word of God does not contradict itself. Because the author of the word of God is the Holy Spirit. He knows what he's saying. Let's look at this line. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. Now look at this. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. Again, translation problem. I don't think there is, Paul is classifying the charisms and saying, oh, if you have miracles, you are bigger. If you are praying in tongues, you are smaller. If you do this, you are middle. No. They're all members of one body. We're all members of one body. All the charisms have to function in unison. For the function, it's like, can the hand tell the leg, I don't need you? Can the leg tell the ear, I don't need you? Can the leg tell the hand, I'm superior to you? Excuse me. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongue, unless someone interpret, so that the church may be edified. What is the church? The people of God, the body of Christ. Now, what tongue is talking about? Unless someone interprets. The minute he says, unless someone interprets, then it is definitely a tongue for public use. Public use means for people. And that's why he said, so that the church may be edified, built up, strengthened. And that's why classify these gifts. Classify various kinds of tongues. Tongues for private use, tongues for public use, tongues for unbelievers. And here he's talking about tongues for public use, unless someone interpret. Very clear. In verse 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, he says, no interpretation is required. No one understands him. Very clear. It's very clear. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 6 now. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or a word of instruction? Look at what St. Paul is saying. St. Paul is saying in verse 6, now brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, so what type of tongue is here? Is it private, public, or for unbelievers? Think about it. Is it private? If I come to you and speak to you in tongues, what is it? Private, public, or for unbelievers? It's for public, you see. If I come to you and I speak to you, look at that. That means if I come to a group and speak to a group in tongues, Paul says it needs interpretation. What good otherwise it will be? If I speak in tongues in an assembly, nobody understands. That's why he says, what good it will be unless I bring some revelation. Look at that. Revelation, a prophecy, interpretation, knowledge, or prophecy, or a word of instruction, which needs interpretation when you use it in public. Now, from verse 7 to 12, we skip. Not required. Because from verse 7 to 12, Paul is talking about, you know, different kinds of instruments produce different kinds of sound. See that? We must read it, okay? Different instruments, that's why I said, different instruments produce different sound. So one instrument cannot tell another instrument, I don't need you. There's no choir. It's gone. That sound is gone. Everything must work together. So Paul is not telling this is better than that. No. Don't understand it like that. Understand it as Paul is encouraging us to make sure that all the gifts and charisms work together for the building of the church without disorder, without confusion, without division. Now, verse 13. For this reason, from 6 to 13. For this reason, the one who speaks in tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. In what context is he telling this? He is telling this in context of verse 6. You see? In verse 6, he's saying for this reason. That means when you come into a group into an assembly, into a prayer group, and you use the gift of tongues, you should pray, he says, that you may interpret what you say. Look at that. For this reason, when we use it as a public gift, we must pray for the interpretation. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 now. Let me go back to this. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes I can understand people's confusion here. Interpretation of tongues itself. You know why? Because today, people have not seen it. They have not seen the operation of this gift, the demonstration of these gifts. Even our prayer meetings nowadays, if you go to a prayer meeting, there is no gift manifesting, not operational, not manifesting. So we go there, we never heard about it. And so suddenly we wonder, what is this? But I know, you see, the Lord touched my life in the year 1976, many, many years ago, right? Around 44 years now. I was 18 years old, studying in the university. The Lord touched my life powerfully. And I was blessed, yeah? And then received the gift of tongues, prayed, but not as much as now. Now we're praying more because we didn't have nobody told us about this. That you have to pray in tongues for long hours. Nobody told us. The Holy Spirit told us. And we are doing it. We are getting results. We are seeing power. We are seeing all the charisms manifest. That's amazing. But those days, I remember, 1980 to 1995, or 1980 to 1995, was the golden period of the Catholic charismatic renewal. Golden. Why I say golden? The move of the Spirit was amazingly powerful. All the charisms that are listed here were manifesting everywhere. I remember I was part of a prayer meeting. I was a leader of a prayer group in Bangalore, the largest prayer group in Bangalore. And these gifts surfaced. Why we prayed so much in tongues those days? The worship will be going on. And as the worship is going on, the worship leader will say, as he comes to the worship, he'll say, okay, now we will remain in silence. If you have a word from the Lord, speak it out. So clearly, the worship leader will tell that, and the whole congregation, the whole prayer group will wait in silence. Total silence, pin drop silence. Nobody fiddling with guitar and all that. No. Nowadays, you have silence, we're already irritated. No, in 15 seconds, we're wondering, did the worship leader forget the next song? We're not used to silence, you see. We're waiting on the Lord. And a prophecy may come in English. No, needs no interpretation, right? English. Everybody understands English in the prayer group that we are in. But then the prayer group leader will say, let us continue to wait. And then suddenly from one man or one woman from a side may stand up and pray in a tongue. In a tongue. Deravara shanda goravana namana shanda. And he sits down. He's prayed it in an assembly. Nobody understood what he said. Immediately the worship leader will say, let us wait for the interpretation. Look at that. And we're all in silent. And suddenly another man somewhere else will stand up and say, thus says the Lord in English. He is interpreting or giving the interpretation for the tongue. And then everybody will say, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. You see? I've seen it at conferences, conventions, seminars, prayer group levels, cell group meetings. Beautiful, mighty move of the Holy Spirit. Today, charisms have died out. I will tell you why charisms have died out. Charisms have died out. Because we are not praying in tongues. Now I can see this charism surfacing in our community. 2 or 3 weeks back, in our own community meeting, we are having a community meeting on Saturday. You're welcome to join if you like, A community meeting, we had the interpretation of tongues. Somebody prayed in tongue and we all waited. Now they all know. And someone else gave the interpretation of tongues. I'm hearing it after 15 years at a prayer meeting or community meeting. 15 years. Why? Now we have our community members all are praying in tongues so beautifully. Some are praying 2 hours, 3 hours. Children are praying in tongues. 10-year-old children, 8 and 7 and 4 and 5 are all praying in tongues. Amen. Amen. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Amen. Yeah. But my mind is unfruitful. How beautiful. What is he saying? Clear, right? Needs no explanation. When I pray in tongues, what is praying? My spirit is praying. It's connecting to the Spirit of God. Who? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is within you. Sometimes we do like this. No, looks like he's outside you. No, he's within you. And I say like this also, it means he's in you. Holy Spirit is within us. We don't have to say, God, where are you? Within us is. When I pray in a tongue, my spirit is praying. But my mind is unfruitful. How beautiful. That is the reason why you can pray for many hours. That is the reason why you can take a morning walk and pray in tongues and your mind is concentrating on something else. You see that? That is the reason why you can pray in tongues and still drive the car. That is the reason why you can pray in tongues and do other chores at home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? When you pray in tongues, your spirit is praying, your mind is unfruitful. Because your mind is unfruitful, you can utilize the mind or the intellect to do what you're doing, to concentrate. We have a beautiful testimony. I will ask Harry to put this testimony for you. You know, of a girl from the US. Her name is Annu. How she's using the gift of tongues beautifully. She said, I do all my chores. I put on my headphones. I pray in tongues. Sometimes I'm just listening to talks. And now it's a joy, she's saying, to do the chores. Amen. You see that? For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Okay? Another translation, it's called a new translation. If I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying. I don't understand what I am saying. Now look at verse 15. Yeah? So what shall I do? Yeah, connected to verse 14. I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, and also I will sing with my understanding. What is St. Paul saying here? St. Paul is saying you can use both the faculties. You can pray in the spirit, and you can utilize your mind also, if you want. For example, initially, probably many people will do this initially. We want to vocalize our prayer. We want to understand what we are praying. So morning you may get up and say, Lord, I want to thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the gift of life. And then you can pray in tongues. Thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. You are the Lord of my life. You are the master of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are a victorious king. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are truly the savior of my life. So what are we doing? We are using both the faculties. I'm using my mind, I'm using my spirit. You can do that initially, because maybe you're understanding, you're praying in English and praying in tongues, praying in whatever language you know and pray in tongues. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I also sing with my understanding. How amazing. And now we skip a two verses and look at the golden verse here. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 18. I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Amen. What are the secrets of St. Paul? Success. Missionary journeys. The Catholic Church calls St. Paul the greatest missionary in the church. Why? Because of what he accomplished. And how did he do it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, by praying in tongues. I thank God, I speak in tongues more than all of you. What a bold statement to make, right? Sometimes you may think, oh, very arrogant statement. But he knew he was praying more. That means he might have prayed for hours. He was so confident, nobody in the Corinthian church could match him. That's why he says this. It's a humble statement to say how much it depends on the Spirit of God. I thank God I pray in tongues more than all of you. And people, when they question, if anybody questions you about the gift of tongues, show them the life of St. Paul. Don't get worried. Don't back off. Don't think you're doing something wrong. No, you're doing something correct because it is written in the Word of God. And then verse 22, tongues then are a sign, not for unbelievers, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. Look at this very clear, right? Tongues then is a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. What type of tongue is he speaking about? The third type of tongue, that are tongue for unbelievers. Look at that. It's a different kind of a tongue. I heard a story. This guy was praying for somebody. You know, a Sri Lankan was praying for a guy from Spain. And as he was praying for the person in Spain, the guy in, from Spain stopped him. He said, do you know Spanish? He says, no, I have no clue about Spanish. And the Spanish man told him, you are praying in pure Spanish. I understand you. What was God? You see, God was using the tongue as a sign for an unbeliever. When he heard this guy speak in Spanish, not knowing Spanish, he knew God was calling him to repentance. God was calling him to reform his life. God was calling him to put his life in order. And he repented for unbelievers. And that is what, that is the gift that happened in, let me see here, that is the gift that happened in the day of Pentecost. That's why 3,000 people were added to the church. Amen. Look at the power of the gift. People heard them speak in their own languages. And we know on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 people, right? In the upper room. And who were the 120 people? Their disciples, the apostles, Mother Mary. Amen. 120. Mother Mary was there, right? And when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, it says all of them prayed in tongues. What is all? All the 120 in the upper room prayed in tongues, including Mother Mary. Mother Mary prayed in tongues. Tongues is for everybody. Yes. Tongues is not, we have classified things. No. Oh, when you pray in tongues, no. We say, that is charismatic. No. Don't make that mistake. That is your spirituality. I like this spirituality. No, I'm talking about biblical spirituality. I'm not talking about charismatic spirituality at all. I'm talking about biblical spirituality. Clapping hands is in the Bible. Raising hands is in the Bible. Praying spontaneously is in the Bible. Praying in tongues is in the Bible. Using and operating the charisms is in the Bible. It's biblical spirituality. It doesn't matter which movement you are in. Doesn't matter, but practice what the Word of God says. Follow any spirituality, but make sure you follow what the Word of God tells you. Verse 26. Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. We're coming to the end. When we meet together, one will sing, another will teach. Another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues. Another will interpret what God has said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. Look at this verse. Which gift is St. Paul talking about? The tongue for private use, public use, or unbelievers? See? St. Paul now is speaking in verse 26. About the gift for public use. How do we know it? When we meet together as one body, as a community, as a prayer group. You see that? And then he says, if anybody speaks in tongues, another will interpret what is said. Look at that. But everything must be done in order. What has happened is, during this translation time, I think the gifts, the verses have got like no misplaced. You can rearrange the verses. That's why confusion. Suddenly he'll speak on the private use, then he'll go to public use, then he'll go to gift of unbelievers, then come back to public use, and come back to private use. So what has happened is the verses have got a little jumbled. And that's bringing confusion. That's the confusion. Maybe during the translation time. So probably you can rearrange it if you like. You can rearrange it if you like. One minute. Okay. But understand, that's why when you are reading a verse, ask this question. Is it for private use? Is it public? Is it for unbelievers? Is it for, remember the rule? If the gift of tongues is addressed to God, it needs no interpretation. If the gift of tongues is addressed to people, it needs interpretation. Think of this rule. Keep this rule in your mind when you're reading these verses. Then it becomes very, very easy. Verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. Again, he's talking about how the gift has to be used in a community, in a prayer group situation. What tongue is this? Public, of course. Again, public use. But he's trying to tell them how to operate in the gift, how to, probably from what it looks like here, he says, when anyone speaks in a tongue, two or three should speak, one at a time. That means he's saying, he's trying to bring order. Maybe there was confusion in the Corinthian church. Maybe two people stood at two sides and started speaking in tongues. He said, no, that cannot be done. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or three at most should speak one at a time. Look, he's giving clear instruction. Someone must interpret. Yeah, you're bringing this order. At a prayer meetings, there must be order. At a community meeting, there must be order. At our whatever meetings that we are going through, order. Because when there is order, the Holy Spirit is present. That's how it is. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 14, 33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Look at that. God is in us. God is with us. When? There's order. When there's confusion, when there is chaos, God is absent. Peace is a sign. You see that the Holy Spirit is present. Peace. Because a God is a God of peace. Order. Order brings peace. Some people say there is no peace in my life. You know why? No order in their life. Peace is a sign that God is in control of your life. Not only at the prayer meeting, but your life, your family. Peace. Family. Peace. If there is peace in your family, God is present. You see, peace in your family, your relationships. It's very important. Peace with God, peace with man. God is present. When there is no peace, God is absent. And then last verse, he says, 39, do not forbid speaking in tongues. Look at this. How important it is to make sure nobody can prevent us and nobody should tell, don't pray in tongues. That's wrong. Paul says you should not do that because why? He said earlier, I want all of you to speak in tongues. Let nobody forbid you. Look at that. It's against the word of God. If somebody telling you don't pray, don't use your charisms, don't read the Bible, don't go to church, it's wrong. You should obey God, not man. So quickly, is the gift of tongues Catholic? Some people ask me this. Is the gift of tongues Catholic? I ask them another question. The question I ask them is this. Is the Bible Catholic? If you say the Bible is Catholic, the gift of tongues is Catholic. Look what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says. Priya read it, I think, on the first day. Section 2003, please note it down. For some people, if you show from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, they'll believe. But if you show from the Word of God, they will not believe. What to do? So show them then. Catechism of the Catholic Church 2003 says, there are further more special graces also called charisms after the Greek term used by St. Paul, meaning favor, gratuitous gift, benefits. Whatever their character, Sometimes it is extraordinary, such as the gift of miracles or of tongues. Look at that. Charisms are oriented towards sanctifying grace and are intended for the common good of the church. They are at the service of charity, which build up the church. Look at that. Here is Catechism of the Catholic Church saying, yes, there are charisms. They are meant for the building of the church. There are charisms like miracles. There are charisms like gift of tongues. Yes, it acknowledges it. But we are so ignorant of certain things. And some people are also ignorant who teach us. They confuse us. But you don't get confused now after listening to a talk like this. Amen. Praise God. So let's say a word of prayer. Priya is going to come and lead us into the impartation. Let's pray a little while. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Glory, glory, glorify your name. May your name be praised, Lord. May your name be blessed, God. Lord, I pray for a blessing upon my brothers and sisters, Lord. May all that you have taught us in the last 3 days sink deep down, Lord. From the mind, let it go to the heart and bring transformation in our lives, Lord. Oh, Lord, we are hungry. Lord, we desire. Your word says, earnestly desire. Desire the gifts, the charisms. We desire, Lord, give us this priceless gift, the gift of tongues. You said, ask, you will receive. We are your children. Tonight we ask you, give us this gift, Lord. This gift that will bring greater intimacy with you, Lord. With the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Prayer will become a joy. Give us this gift, Lord, because your life will flow through us. Your power will flow through us. Your power will get manifested in our lives. All the charisms will surface in our life. Oh, Lord. How long we have neglected this gift. For lack of teaching. For lack of knowledge. And today we want to thank you for these 3 days. 3 days where you have taught us, Lord, about this priceless gift. And because it was used in the early church, Lord, signs and wonders we can see in the Acts of the Apostles. Because they were the people who received the gift, used this gift, prayed much in this gift. And they did amazing, amazing things. Thank you, Lord. You are pouring out your spirit upon all flesh in our church. Thank you for bringing a renewal and a revival in the Catholic Church. We are all part of the church, Lord. And if all of us get renewed, the church gets renewed. Thank you for giving us this chance and opportunity to be here for 3 evenings. Listen to your word. May your word, Lord, strengthen us, because your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. Nourish us. May your word nourish us. We know, Lord, when we pray in tongues, the word of God will come alive. Revelations, insight, mysteries will unfold to us. What a joy it will be to read the word of God. What a joy. So that you can speak to your people through the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That you so lavishly bestow upon your children your gifts. Help us to be good stewards of your gift and charisms, and use it. Not for selfish reasons, but use it for the building of the church. That the church may be strengthened and the church may grow. In Jesus' mighty and matchless name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So dear